This morning, we are once again looking at spiritual warfare. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare, and spiritual warfare is an invisible battle that you and I face every day of our lives. It's a battle for eternity. And even though you and I cannot see all the demonic activity with our visible eyes, we can certainly be confident of the fact that it is forever present every day that you and I live. This morning, I want to speak on the topic of fitted with armor for the battle from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Now, as we continue this series on spiritual warfare, and as we look in the book of Ephesians today, what we are going to talk about is what you and I need to do in order to show up for the battle every day of our lives, and to be spiritually ready for this battle, because sooner or later, every believer is going to discover that the Christian life, it's not a playground. The Christian life is a battleground. You and I face an enemy who seeks to kill and to destroy. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He uses a military illustration in order to make his point that we are in this world struggling, and we struggle against the world and the flesh and the devil, and we need to be ready to show up for this fight. There are three things today I want you to take away from this. First of all, the encouragement that we need. The encouragement we need. Secondly, the enemy we face. And thirdly, the equipment we use. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." This morning, are you fitted with the army that God wants you to be fitted with for this spiritual battle that you and I are embroiled in, engaged in, forced into every day of our lives? First of all, this morning, the encouragement we read that you and I need. The encouragement, Paul tells us in verses 10 and 11 to stand. I believe that if you and I are going to be engaged in this battle out there, Paul wants us to be encouraged. I believe that there was ever a time in all of life that Christians need to be encouraged, it's now. I don't know about you, but the world is filled with anxiety. The world is filled this morning with all kinds of uncertainties that are raging and battling in their hearts and mind. Paul realized that we need encouragement, and the encouragement we need is what he shares with us from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. It tells us to stand in the evil day. He says to stand firm. Now, in verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Now, what you and I need to understand is that you and I cannot We cannot fight this battle alone. We're not smart enough. We're not clever enough. We're not spiritual enough. And while this may not sound too encouraging, trust me, it is, because Paul says, be strong in the Lord. This morning, I don't know, where's your strength? I love when Sonia's saying, I get on my knees. I get on my knees. There's something about being alone with God. There's something about, as Scripture says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. You and I live in an unstilled world out there. Let me tell you, you're already thinking this morning. I can assure you the enemy is there at your beck and call this morning, trying to distract you, trying to distort the message today of what you're going to be doing tomorrow. And so your mind is clouded. And oftentimes we are not still to know that He is God. How can you and I be strong? We're strong not in our own human strength. We can only be strong in the Lord. Notice that phrase, and in His mighty power. Where does that strength come from? Well, it certainly doesn't come from ourselves. You see, the cardinal reality that's presented here in the book of Ephesians is that we as believers, we are in Christ and are one with Him. You see, His life is our life. His power is our power. His truth is our truth. His way is our way. And Paul goes on to say here that His strength is our strength. One day, Dwight L. Moody, the great preacher, many, many years ago, he was trying to get his audience engaged in what he was doing. And he asked this question. He held up a glass. It was empty. He said, how can I get the air out of this glass? One man shouted, suck it out with a pump. Moody replied, well, that would only create a vacuum and it would shatter the glass. There were all kinds of numerous suggestions. And then Moody smiled at the crowd. He picked up a pitcher of water and he filled the glass and he said, now all of the air is removed. And by that illustration, he went on to explain this, that if you're going to have victory in the Christian life, that is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and a sin there, but it's by being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, you and I, when we are born again, when we have reached out through faith and we have asked Christ to forgive us our sins and to come into our heart and life, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Young people, do you know what that means, to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means God, Jesus, are living within your heart through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. It guides you into all truth. And so you and I are being filled with the Holy Spirit. That means every day of our life, she's saying, I get on my knees. That's where I feel His presence. That's where I feel His closeness. It may be out in the field riding the tractor. It may be in your car driving down the road. It may be somewhere that is your safe place. It's whatever is your safe haven there. But the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. I think so oftentimes the reason in our Christian lives that we falter so often is due to the fact that we're never still. Our minds are whirling and we are bombarded from every side with all forms of social media out there and all kinds of news outlets that are out there and all kinds of distractions that are going on around the world and all of the pandemics and all of the famines and the floodings and the earthquakes and all of the tornadic activity and all of the just the general affairs of life. And you and I get so caught up in it. We get in the quagmire of being so flustered and so confused that sometimes it's hard to be still and to know that He is God. You see, when the Apostle Paul was struggling, if you will remember, the Apostle Paul, young people, had something physically the matter with him. Now, we don't know what that was. There's all kinds of speculations about it. But he called it his thorn in the flesh. And he prayed. He asked God 3 times to remove that thorn. And God did not do that. But God let him know that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's the encouragement you and I need today. Be still and know that He is God. Know that you are standing in His strength, in His mighty power. Know that you are standing resolutely. You're standing firm. You're standing strong. And you're lifting high the banner of the cross. Let me tell you, there's one thing you and I need today, and it's encouragement. And the way I get encouragement is from the Word of God. I was visiting on Friday morning. I had a doctor's appointment at 8 o'clock at OU Medical on Friday morning, a follow-up from 6 years ago. And when my doctor walked in, did this. And, we talked for a few minutes, and he said, how are things going, and how's your life? And I said, well, I've been doing tons and tons of funerals. And he turned, and he stopped, and he goes, that must be awfully depressing. That really must be tough. How do you do that? I thought about this morning. I get on my knees. I drive down the road. I'm still to know that He's God. I ask for His grace. I rely on His strength. I know it's sufficient. And I ask Him to let me be a witness today to someone who will be listening to know Jesus. That's how I do it. I think when Carla sang a few moments ago, He's more than a friend to me. I want you to know those 2 songs you sang this morning, those songs resonate in my heart and life every day of life. There's too much to be discouraged about. There's too much out there that absolutely weighs and preys on our minds. And young people, I realize you live in an anxiety-filled world. This past week, no telling how many times I heard the word anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. It's a world that is filled with stress and anxiety. I read this week where one of the God's created beings in the sea world committed suicide by banging its head on a tank. And I could not help but when I read that article, and another one, a dolphin that died because its lover had left it. And I could not help but think, the Bible says creation is groaning for the day of redemption. Let me tell you, not only are you and I filled with anxiety, but let me tell you, the created world is filled with anxiety today. Let me tell you, when I look into the night skies and I see the incredible things that are out there, let me tell you, when I look into the heavens and I see the sun, the moon, and the stars, I'm reminded of what Jesus said, as long as the stars and the sun and the moon are out there, Israel will always be. Let me tell you, folks, I look at the nation of Israel this morning. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged because I realize that small little parcel of property that the whole world seemingly is against. And God said, as long as those stars shine, as long as the sun shines, as long as the moon is out there, Israel will exist. It's unfortunate this morning that their enemies cannot believe the Bible. and read the Bible and know that God's word is true. Let me tell you, the encouragement you and I need is that we live in his mighty power, we live in his strength, in God and God alone. Secondly, this morning, there's an enemy that you and I face. In verse 12, he speaks about it. Remember, you and I have three enemies. It's the world out there. And that world system is a godless system. It's anything that is opposed to God and to his kingdom. The flesh out there is that old flesh nature you and I inherited from Adam and Eve in the garden. And then that other enemy that we face is the devil. He's one of those fallen angels. He was so filled with pride because God is an awesome God. God gave those created angels freedom to choose. And a third of those angels chose pride with Satan, and Satan fails. Now, you and I, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, says, for our struggle. What's your struggle this morning? Paul said, this is your struggle. Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, even though we think it's against each other when we have conflict with each other, we think it's because of the Democrats and the Republicans or the independents or the no dependents. We think that our struggle is with all of that. But Paul said our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. He's talking about demonic forces. And against all the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. In other words, the deepest issues that we face this morning, they're not racial issues. They're not political issues. They're not financial issues. They're not economic issues or physical issues. I believe the deepest issues you and I face in life, and the root is in the spiritual, is because we're fighting this spiritual invisible battle that's out there. In the year of 1896, young people, there was a guy by the name of Norman Kidd McCoy. He was the welterweight. That is a weight class between a lightweight and a medium weight. He was a boxing champion. In one of his fights, he learned that the guy he was fighting was deaf. And so Norman Kidd McCoy, when he neared the end of the third round, McCoy stepped back and he pointed over into the corner. His opponent thought, because he couldn't hear, that the bell rang. And just as he turned to look in that corner, McCoy hit him and knocked him out. Now, that wasn't fair, but it happened. What I want you to know is the devil don't play fair. The devil don't play fair. I guarantee you he'll deliver you a punch that you wish you had never had. And it's not a fruit punch. I want you to know the devil doesn't play fair. And so this morning, the encouragement we need is to stand in the strength and the mighty power of Almighty God. Secondly, the enemy we face, they're there every day for you and to me. But thirdly, this morning, and I want to spend the rest of my time here, the equipment we use. How on earth do I fight in this battle? This invisible spiritual battle out there. This is where I want you to look in verses 13 through 17. We've got to get dressed for the battle. Here's what Paul says. Therefore, that word, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, look to see what it's there for. Okay? That means because of what we've already spoken about, he says, put on the full armor of God. He's using military terms here, a military illustration, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, Paul says, stand firm then. with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God, which is the Word of God. Now, what Paul says is this, young people, if you're going to fight this invisible force out there in your life, he said, number one, you got to be dressed for the battle. He said, put on the belt of truth. In that day that Paul wrote, the Roman army, in that day, people had to wear belts because they had flowing garments. And in order for that garment not to drag the ground, they wore belts. Well, you know why you wear a belt. And for those Roman soldiers, it was hugely important because they kept their weaponry hanging from those belts. And so we're to approach Satan's schemes with strong reliance on the truth of God, his word and his promises, because Satan is a liar. The Bible says he's the father of lies, and we refute those lies, and the way we do it is through the word of God. The word of God. Let me tell you, young people, there's a lot of things out there on the internet you can't believe. There's a lot of things in social media that you can't believe. And let me tell you, in the world that you and I are living in today, I read some things. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's not true. But I do know this. This book is God's word. And I believe it from cover to cover. As one old preacher said, I even believe the index and the maps. Folks, I want you to know, if you don't hold on to the standard of the Word of God, you're in trouble in this world that we live in. I believe with all my heart this is true. I shared this morning in Sunday school. I've shared it before in a sermon. It bears to be repeated again. They took a poll not long ago, the Barna Group. Out of 176 million American Christians. Now there are some 325 million people in America. But out of that polling, there were 176 million that said they believed and were Christians. When they narrowed that down, they actually found that people who truly believed the Bible, 6% had a biblical world view. That means 94% didn't have a biblical worldview at all. I don't know what they're going by, but I want you to know this is my GPS right here. And this is what I go by. And I'm told that the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, that lives in my heart, will lead you into all truth. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Let me tell you, you better be dressed with the truth. If you don't, you're going to be led astray because there are many false teachers out there in the world today. Secondly, what else do you wear besides the belt of truth, the word of God? The breastplate of righteousness. In Paul's day, unlike today, most of those people went to battle face to face, hand to hand combat. And let me tell you, when the enemy would come against them, they had to have this breastplate that covered them so that their vital organs would be protected and they would have a sword. And for this reason, the chest that the warrior had to be protected would protect him. It was a sleeveless piece of armor made with bronze, chains, and leather. Do you know what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23? He said, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. You see, that means that everything you do, if you don't put on the breastplate of righteousness and guard your heart, let me tell you, your heart will become impure. Your heart will become dirty from the filth of this world that you and I live in. Thirdly, put on the shoes of peace in verse 15. In 1994, the Academy Award-winning movie Forrest Gump. How many saw that movie? Well, old Forrest, several times in that movie, he's sitting on a bench. He's talking to a local nurse, and they're conversing back and forth. And after Forrest Gump admired her shoes, he said, "My mama always said, you can tell a person by their shoes where they're going and where they've been." The Roman soldier, young people, in Paul's day had shoes that had hobnails so they could gain a footing in the contest. And if you and I are going to withstand, then we need shoes of the gospel. And that means that you and I need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a world that doesn't have peace. But we need to share the wonderful Christian life, and we need to wear the shoes of the gospel, which is peace. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 and Romans 10, 15 says. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. That's the gospel. Who proclaim peace. Who bring good tidings. Who proclaim salvation. Who say to Zion, your God reigns. Look in Romans 10, 15. And how can anyone preach unless they're sent, as it's written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings. Young people, you and I are ambassadors in this world to show the gospel, to show the peace that you can have by knowing Jesus Christ. There's a fourth armor you and I need to take up. Piece of equipment in verse 16. It's the shield of faith. Now, this isn't talking here about a saving faith, but it's a living faith. It's a trust in the promises and the power of Almighty God. And let me tell you, in those days of the Roman Empire, those soldiers, the shields would be made in such a way they could interlock together and they could face the enemy. And you and I need a living faith about a living Savior. Verse 17, verse 8, the helmet of salvation is another piece of equipment that you and I take. The helmet of salvation. You know what a helmet's for? In football, it's to protect your head from any kind of neuro injury that's out there. And Paul uses that example in order for us to control our minds. To control our minds. Let me tell you, young people, there are people out there that are being brainwashed every day of this world. And let me tell you, if you're not protecting your mind and growing your mind, I can assure you that Satan and his emissaries will do everything they can to destroy your mind. There's another piece of equipment that we need. It's the sword of the Spirit. And that is the only offensive weapon that God provides us with. And Paul tells us that the word of the Spirit is the word of God. Those Roman soldiers, on their belt, they had a short sword, which was for closeness to the enemy in fighting. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Now, those swords that they used during the days of the Roman Empire, after a while, they became dull. They had to be resharpened. Paul uses that illustration to say that God's word, his truth, the standard by which we live, is sharper than any sharp sword that's out there. It tells us when we're right. It tells us when we're wrong. It brings conviction in our lives. And so if you and I are going to be engaged in this battle that we are waging out there, you and I have got to be dressed for the battle. In 1975, John Molly wrote a book that ended up being one of the best sellers. It was called Dress for Success. Dress for Success. Now, it was just the basic stuff. When you go for a job interview, look your best. Be sure you've washed your hair, combed your hair, brushed your teeth, have fresh breath. Be sure your fingernails are cleaned, et cetera, et cetera. The question for you and me this morning is this: are you dressed? Are you dressed for success in this battle against the enemy? You see, God has fitted us for the battle with this equipment that we've looked at this morning. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the wiles, the tricks of the devil. Young people, I read just yesterday on Christian Post, John Cooper, the frontman of the popular Christian rock band Skillet. He was promised fame if he would just stop talking about Jesus. I'm grateful. He stood firm. He stood his ground. He's still singing and he's still talking about Jesus. Are you fitted with the equipment for the battle that you're in? Would you stand as we pray together?